This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
We have reached out to Rick Allen Ross, who is a deprogrammer and cult specialist. His group is the Cult Education Institute. Rick, thank you so much for being with us. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you.
You have quite the background. You've been involved in this for a very long time.
Yeah, I started in the early 80s, and I've been qualified, accepted, and testified as an expert on authoritarian groups called cults across the United States, including United States federal court. And I wrote the book Cults Inside Out, How People Get In and Can Get Out, so that people could better understand how this phenomenon works and how common it really is.
How common is it?
Well, I think there are millions of people within the United States and Canada, and of course, globally, millions more that are involved in groups that have been called cults. And they are now proliferating across the web and using social media to recruit people. And the case in Pennsylvania is evidence of that.
Social media and the web, I would believe, would give people, Rick, more of an opportunity to become ensnared in this stuff, because literally you could be lured in from the privacy of your own home as opposed to out in a public meeting or a venue where you come into contact with somebody like this.
Yes. In fact, I do interventions, or what has been called deprogramming. I talk about that in the book. I did an intervention earlier this year to try to help a man get out of a group that recruited through YouTube. And he basically would watch YouTube over and over again with indoctrinational YouTube broadcasts by the group, and then eventually he began attending group meetings. So what it frequently happens is people can hook up with a group through the group's website, through YouTube, through the group's Facebook page, Twitter page, and then they can contribute to the group through PayPal, and they can Skype and talk with other members. And so what can exist today, which is most people don't realize, a group can virtually exist on the web, and members may not actually meet face to face.
This kind of indoctrination, who do you believe is particularly vulnerable to it? Although I would imagine that there's no specific type in general, but do you see a pattern here?
Yes, I do. A young man that I met with and tried to get out of a YouTube-based group that I mentioned, he lost a very dear friend. The friend died suddenly from a massive heart attack. He was quite young, in his 30s, and it shook him, and it became the source of a depression. And that is probably the most consistent thread that I've seen in the recruitment of people into groups called cults, is that they may be going through a rough patch. They may have lost their job. They're going through relationship problems. They've lost someone close to them. Things are not going well. And so they're looking for a sense of relief. They're looking for answers. And at that point, a group, often quite deceptively, in a misleading fashion, lures them in a kind of bait-and-switch con game.
You've been working on this issue for so long. I saw that you go way, way back, and you were actually involved with the Branch Davidian cult. What was that like for you? Because that became such a high-profile issue. How did you get involved in that? And then how did you work on this David Koresh siege?
Well, during the 80s, I was contacted by families when the Branch Davidians, led by Vernon Howell, later known as David Koresh, were a very obscure group. I think most people that have heard of the group don't realize that Howell Koresh never had more than 200 followers, so it was a very small group, though it had a long history in the area of Waco. That is, that the group was started decades before Koresh took it over from another leader, and the group had been a peaceful group that caused no problems. And then when Vernon Howell Koresh took over, everything changed. And families contacted me, and I did interventions to get people out of the group successfully. And it was after that that I was contacted by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, the BATF, and I became aware that they were investigating the group. I had no idea that they were going to raid the compound, and when they did, I was shocked, because I had told them and warned them that the group had a large stockpile of weapons, according to a member that I had recently successfully deprogrammed. So when they stormed in, I was just really surprised the way they did it. Subsequently, I was interviewed by the FBI, and I disagreed with many of their tactics, but I can sympathize with the fact that they had never dealt with a group like this before, and that they were using old tactics that you would use with hostage terrorist situations, as opposed to devoted followers of a cult leader. And since the tragedy at Waco, which ended in that terrible fire with so many people dying and children, the FBI has successfully moved and changed their negotiations with groups like this.
I'm glad to know that, and I'm glad there is an evolution in this. When you come into contact with devoted followers of an individual or individuals, how hard is it to get them to change their belief system? Because, Rick, to be honest with you, I have deep-seated beliefs. I'm sure you do, too. And sometimes when people challenge our beliefs, we dig in even harder. How do you get them to move off of their devotion?
Well, I think you have to focus on the behavior, not the belief. That is, whether the group believes in UFOs, reptilian aliens from outer space, as this particular group that is linked to the death of this young man, or the group is Bible-based, meditation-oriented, martial arts. I mean, there are any number of things a group may believe. The issue is, how does the group behave? And does the group hurt people? And is the group authoritarian in such a way that people have lost their ability to function independently, to think critically, and function as individuals? And how has it hurt their life? Has it hurt their finances? Has it hurt their family relationships, their employment, their education? So you look at not what the group believes, but what the group behaves and how that behavior impacts the individual. And when I do an intervention, I'm working with family members, with a spouse, with adult children, with parents, and we're all sitting there with that involved individual and talking out how the family became concerned, why they're concerned, and what behavior concerns them. So rather than attacking the person's beliefs, you're talking about the dynamics of the group, the behavior of the group, and how it might be harmful.
Sounds like a really good strategy and one that I didn't think of. So thanks for that information. Now let's pivot to what's going on with this particular story. You told me that this group, Sherry Schreiner, which is an internet group, they seem to be very focused on a couple of different things simultaneously. One would be a coming apocalypse, and the other would be reptiles who are going to take over the planet. And you said that this group, Sherry Schreiner, may be modeled after a guy named David Ickes. Can you explain him and then maybe pivot to them?
Yeah, David Icke, I-C-K-E, is a, he's a, often called a conspiracy theorist. He's English. He's a lecturer. He's written books. And he's posited the theory that there are shape-shifting alien reptiles that are trying to take over the world in a global conspiracy. And he's even said that the British royal family are shapeshifters. And so many groups, and I believe the Sherry Schreiner group is an example, will simply take and borrow from pre-existing groups and then create a composite belief system copying the theories, the ideas of people like Icke that have come before them. And the Icke conspiracy theories are again, rampant on the web, and the web has created the vehicle to, you know, just pollinate many different groups with these kind of conspiracy theories. And Schreiner has a website, and the website has PayPal, and she makes money from basically predicting the end of the world and using that as leverage to sell products and solicit donations from people that interact with her through her web presence and also her YouTube presence.
She has the things on here like look at the people in Hollywood. I see them on TV. They have their eyes are similar to a reptilian individual, bulges and indents in the cheeks, the neck, and she talks about something that she refers to as a soul scalping. A serpent possesses the human and takes over their brain and body and becomes that person. Now, Rick, when I sit with you today and talk to you, I think to myself, this seems absurd. I mean, so how does the paradigm shift for an individual where they buy into this? What happens?
They become isolated. That's the key, is the individual becomes really socially isolated. They become more and more embedded in a particular group. They overwhelm themselves with the YouTube, watching it endlessly. In the case of the intervention that I did not long ago, that's what happened. The man was he was employed by a company, but like many people, he worked from home. He had a home office. He worked online, serviced accounts, etc. And he would just spend hour after hour after hour watching YouTube presentations from this particular group. And he just overwhelmed himself. And he increasingly cut himself off from old friends, from family, and his wife became increasingly concerned because she saw how isolated he was becoming and how little he was time he was spending other than watching these YouTube videos endlessly. And then eventually he started meeting up with other members of the group in meetings that took place, so maybe an hour and a half drive from where they lived. And he would even stay over on weekends with the group. But I think the key is that social isolation and inundating yourself with the group's indoctrinational videos and presentations, and just increasingly becoming estranged and having very little communication with someone who can offer you another perspective, alternative feedback, and basically say to you, hey, that's crazy. That's really disturbing. And this is what happens to people. They become a kind of in a bubble, in an echo chamber, and they can construct that with Twitter, with Facebook, with YouTube, with Skype, and with group meetings until they don't see, they don't hear, they don't read anything but the narrative that the group wants to put forth, someone like Schreiner or Icky or whatever.
You also seem like you're describing political parties when you talk like that, Rick, where their followers become so indoctrinated they can't see anything else. Does anybody ever talk about political parties as cults?
Well, yes, and I've been interviewed about that. But the difference is that we have the democratic elective process. We have transparency built in through the Constitution and through multiple branches of government and the courts. When you're dealing with someone like Schreiner or Icky, they're not accountable to anyone. There is no transparency. Schreiner, Icky, and others, they don't respect the idea that there is an alternative view. It's their view. Their view is revealed from a source that cannot be questioned. And if you question them, you question the higher power that they represent, and they accuse you of being part of the conspiracy or whatever. I mean, there is no balance. There is no accountability, and there is no meaningful transparency. In fact, there are warring factions on YouTube regarding Schreiner. I was looking this morning, and there is one group that has a YouTube video accusing Schreiner herself of being a reptilian alien. And I wonder if the young man who died saw that video, because the video accuses Schreiner of being a reptilian alien.
Have you ever seen a case like this where there is a shooting over a cult like this? Have you ever seen this before in your career?
Well, yes, I've dealt with suicides and killings. The most recent that comes to mind is the Word of Life Christian Church in Utica, New York. This was a small group that basically lived and met largely in a former school building in the area of Utica. And they existed in this building, and they raised their children, and the children knew no other life than the group and its leaders, which was basically one family that ruled over this group that was less than 100. And when two teenagers entertained ideas of leaving, they were beaten inside the group building. One of them was hospitalized, one of them died. And the leaders of the group were indicted by a grand jury, and they are now sentenced to prison. The parents, who were, in my opinion, pawns of the leaders, who beat their own children with electrical cords until one was dead, in my view, were under undue influence, were manipulated, and did this under that undue influence. So there have been many, many tragedies. There are many children who die every year simply because their family belongs to a group that does not believe in medical care, and children die from medical neglect. There is one leader of a church in Philadelphia, and parents of a child who are now going through criminal proceedings because they denied medical care to their child. And the child, if that child had received the medical care, would have lived. So there have been overwhelmingly needless deaths due to medical neglect because of groups that have been called cults.
Rick Allen Ross, interesting stuff. You are the author of the book Cults Inside Out. You are a deprogrammer, cult specialist, and you are the founder of the Cult Education Institute. We appreciate you taking the time to discuss this with us this morning. Should we need you in the future, would you be available?
Sure. Thank you very much for having me on.
Very educational.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now, I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.